And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. We welcome you guys back to this Oregon State preview edition of the GGR podcast here. We are recording this very late night, and Luke was extremely gracious.
It's late because we're in preparation of the game. It's going to be like game, Ryan.
Yes, it's considering 2 days from now, it'll be just kicking off the second half out at Oregon State. We thought it would be a great time to prepare ourselves for that time change.
As someone who occasionally has to fly to the other side of the world, I sometimes have to acclimate my body to go, you know, to a time zone that's 13 hours different. I'm just acclimating my body for the Oregon State game. It's a late game. I don't stay up that late.
I forget, where aren't you flying to somewhere in Asia from time to time, or where is it?
Yeah, it's Taiwan, but yeah.
And what's the time change from there?
It can be 12 or 13 hours. It's literally the opposite.
That sounds awful. That sounds legitimately awful. You sound like Derek Burns with the amount of excursions you have to go on for work. So Luke and I are preparing ourselves to try and stay up because, again, we're not in our college years anymore, and it takes a little bit of extra willpower to stay up this late.
All right, Ryan, let's talk a little bit about this matchup with the Oregon State Beavers. You could call it the Rodent Bowl if you wanted, with the Gophers and the Beavers, but I digress. So Oregon State, they have not been they really haven't been impressive to this point, right? So I guess going into this game, I think you could basically say that this is going to be a good barometer for the Gophers to say where they're at. They're currently not the favorite in this game.
Which is, I don't understand this line from Vegas, yeah. Especially because it's been out for so long. Again, this is a Oregon State team that got the doors kicked in on them to start the season against Colorado State and then had to survive a fourth quarter disaster against a Portland State team that won 3 games in the FCS a year ago. Like, this isn't the Oregon State team I thought that Minnesota was going to be playing 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Is the point I'm trying to get across here.
No, I get that. I mean, the rationale has to be, well, Buffalo wasn't great in the MAC last year. They're not much improved. Minnesota didn't blow the doors off of Buffalo. I mean, that has to kind of be the rationale. I mean, I don't know. It's an interesting one. It doesn't seem to make a ton of sense, but it's basically a pick 'em, right? Because right now what I'm looking at
Oregon State is a 2-point favorite.
And it opened
the home team.
It opened as a 1 for the Gophers.
I saw it open as a pick 'em, but either way, okay. I mean, the home team gets 3 points if you're not familiar with Vegas. So
Right. Again,
I think Oregon State's going to be a 1-point victor in terms of the way the public and the sharps and everybody in Vegas is betting. So this is, as you're alluding to, a very interesting game because Oregon State's defense through 2 weeks has been absolutely atrocious. I will be going through some different kind of stats here throughout the pod, but I mean, this is a team that gave up 58 points on the road to Colorado State, which I don't think is 58 points of offense good. I think it's 58 points of offense bad against an Oregon State team. And then again, Portland State, a 3-win FCS team last year, someone that only put up, I believe, 7 or 10 points in their opening game against BYU, heads into Corvallis and puts up 32 on the board. And especially they ran for over 290 yards on a Pac-12 team. So this should bode well in terms of what they don't do well and what Minnesota in theory should do well.
All right, so going into this game personnel-wise, the Gophers are actually sitting pretty good in terms of injuries. Any notable guys that might be held out of this contest due to injury?
Not that I've heard of. So, again, this should be a scenario where Garrison Wright's going to continue to battle through that back injury that he's trying to come back through at left guard. But other than that, Minnesota is still relatively healthy, which is a very good thing.
All right, so looking at this game when the Gophers are on offense, you've alluded to it already. You know, Oregon State's currently through 2 games is giving up 520 yards of total offense and 45 points a game. They're not exactly stout defensively. This is kind of that classic Pac-12 shootout kind of defense, it seems like. You know, what can the Gophers expect otherwise from Oregon State?
I got lost in your stats, but yes, I mean, this will start with Minnesota's offense and Oregon State's defense. Oregon State's defense through 2 weeks has given up 58 points and 32 points, so an average of 45 points a game. They've given up an average of 241 rushing yards a game for 5.0 yards per carry. And as Luke just reiterated, 520 yards of total offense a game against them. I already mentioned this, I believe, already once on the podcast, but it needs to be talked about again. Last week, Portland State, a 3-win FCS team, in 2016, one that's not ranked in the top 25 in FCS in 2017, on 54 carries, put up 5.4 yards a carry for 291 rushing yards. So if Minnesota can't run the ball, and it's not because it's 7-8-9 man boxes, I'm officially going to start moving the worrisome meter about very close to 10, because this is as bad of an Oregon State front seven as you're going to see. So Minnesota's offense is going to have to get going here, and that starts with the quarterback position. I mean, we've talked about it at length on this podcast. I've talked about it at length on Twitter, on Gopher Illustrated. Connor Rota, if he's going to be the starter, has to run the ball and read option. And there is no exception. There is no, he can get away with it. No, he can't. Because, again, this is a run-pass offense or a run-pass option offense. And if the quarterback doesn't do the first word of the offense, it's not going to be run as efficiently as it's going, you know, as someone like Demaryius Croft could run it. Again, I've seen Rota do it in fall camp. I've seen him have success with it in fall camp. And I can assure you it's been reiterated to him throughout the week. If we're going to run inside zone, if we're going to run read option, if we're going to run, Connie, you're going to have to keep the ball and keep the defense honest. So that's the biggest thing for Connor Rota. And then with Demaryius Croft, we talked about it at length as well. You can't leave meat on the bone if you're going to take it. Demery is more than athletic enough to turn the corner. I don't think he's as effective as Mitch Leidner was, and that was somebody. That was a debate I got into this week was on Twitter. Someone said Mitch Leidner wasn't a good runner. Like, everybody here listening to this podcast realized that Mitch Leidner ran for like something like 25, 30 rushing touchdowns in his career. Like, he was an absolute red zone weapon. Like, this isn't even up for debate. I understand.
The argument might be that he wasn't flashy as a runner, but he was definitely effective.
No, and people are like, well, he never had like a 70-yard touchdown.
It doesn't matter.
Who cares? Like, if it was third and four, or if it was second and goal within the five, Mitch Leidner's going to score a touchdown. So if you are Demaryius Croft, I mean, you can't leave meat on the bone. I mean, if you're going to take it on read option instead of getting 6 yards, if you can turn the corner and take a hit and get 9 or 10, that's what Fleck and Shiraka want you to do. That's what you do. Again, don't be timid if you're going to run the ball. So this is something that I think Demaryius Croft can excel at. And then when you look at both quarterbacks in the passing game, if Oregon State's going to sell out to stop the run, which they should, considering they've been giving up 5 yards a carry through two games, they just gave up 5.4 yards a carry and 291 yards to Portland State. I'd think you're probably going to see a lot of guys in the box, which means that the quarterbacks are going to have to hit on play action. I can assure you Tyler Johnson is going to be open. I feel pretty confident that Demetrius Douglas has a pretty good job of getting open as well. So make sure that you're effective and accurate. Again, you don't have to have the strongest arm in the world. Just be accurate in terms of in the passing game. Like, I would be surprised if Tyler Johnson doesn't have over 100 receiving yards and a touchdown again. Just knowing that, again, his role in this offense and what it should be in a Kirk Shiraka offense, and with how putrid this Beaver defense is. Again, from watching even 5 minutes of tape, I mean, this is one of the worst tackling defenses, and I can hear the wheels turning in every Gopher man's mind that you're jinxing us, and then Minnesota's going to come out in the first half and rush for like 2.2 yards a carry and like 100 yards of total offense, and I'm going to be sitting here just like sounding the alarm, like, what is happening? So, again, this is – if Minnesota's offense can't get going, I'm going to start to get pretty worried about this offense in general.
All right, let's flip the coin and talk about when the Gophers are on defense and the Beavers are on offense. The Beavers are averaging 31 points a game through the first two games, and we've already alluded to they played Colorado State and Portland State. The Gophers, you know, have been stout on defense thus far through one game. So it's hard to read into it statistically. But, you know, the Beavers seem to be fairly balanced. They're averaging about 270 yards a game through the air and 150 yards on the ground. What do you expect? How do you expect the Beaver offense to try and exploit that Gopher defense?
Well, from talking with Oregon State beat writer Angie Machado of our Beaver Blitz site on the Scout.com network, her view on the game is that Oregon State's going to want to run the ball to set up the pass. So they want to make sure that they can establish things on the ground, because they don't really want to put it on the arm of new quarterback from the junior college ranks, Jake Luton, someone that has 3 touchdowns to 4 interceptions thus far. He is completing north of 60% of his passes, but again, 4 interceptions against Colorado State and Portland State. I think that if you get pressure on him, because looking at the Oregon State offense, there's a lot of 3, 5, 7 step drops, especially if you get to those 5, 7 step drops on passing downs. I like my chances with Blake Cashman, Carter Coughlin, Kamal Martin, amongst others, trying to get back. So if Minnesota is able to stop the run, again, which they were able to do last week against a Buffalo team, which we expected them to, 51 yards and 22 carries, 2.3 yards a carry, second half, 6 carries for 3 yards. So if they're able to stop Oregon State running back Ryan Nall, who's averaging 5.6 yards a carry, he's their workhorse back. Oregon State's actually had a pretty good amount of success running the ball thus far. They're averaging 5 yards a carry through 2 games. The issue is they've had to abandon the run so early because their defense has been giving up so many points that they're putting it on the arm of their quarterback. So if you're looking at what Minnesota's defense wants to do, stop the run and make Jake Luton beat you. Again, if Minnesota's offense is able to do their part, that's only going to help Rob Smith and with the different stunts, the different blitzes, trying to create havoc, trying to create pressure. That's only going to bode well. So, again, if you're Minnesota's defense, priority number one is stopping the run, and number two is creating pressure. So, both, they didn't have a lot of success creating pressure last week with only rushing 4. So, I mean, that hopefully that's something that takes a step forward this week.
Yeah, interesting. It'll be interesting to see the progression because, you know, last week the Gophers were very stout against the run, only giving up 51 yards. But to your point, you know, they weren't able to get pressure even though Buffalo literally completely abandoned the run in the second half.
Now, again, so how much of that is, you know, these three-step how much of that is a bunch of different variables? But, again, if Minnesota's having success, which I think they should offensively, that's only going to help their defense if the defense can figure out how to stop the run. Because this is going to be a different level of speed than they saw last week. I think that Oregon State has more playmakers than Buffalo does. And again, this is going to be a 9 p.m. kickoff in a away stadium, their first road game for some different players. So, again, stop the run. Make sure that you get after the passer, and I think things are going to bode well for Minnesota if that happens.
All right, let's get into predictions. So let's kind of go over the lines again. So the Gophers are currently a 2-point underdog. The over under being about 51.5. The Beavers are currently 0-2 against the spread on the season, and the Gophers are 0-1 against the spread on the season. So neither team has fared well against the spread thus far. You know, Ryan, I can go first. I know when we did our picks going at the beginning of the season, I thought it'd be a fairly close game. I still believe that. I think I'll go with the Gophers 27 to 24. I think that they'll find a little bit of a semblance of an identity in the running game, which they lacked to start. And I'm going to predict. I don't have any insight into this whatsoever, but I just have a feeling we're going to see a little bit more Demaryius Croft than we do Connor Rota this game.
Personally, again, that's what I would like to see. I mean, I saw plenty of Connor Rota last week, and I saw what he did with it. So I like to see Demery get more of a shot, maybe get 55, 45. And contrary, again, to the popular belief on Twitter, where it seems like people think I'm against Connor Rota. Folks, I don't care who is the quarterback in this offense. I'd rather have one quarterback than two. I'd rather have one take a hold of it than the other. I literally don't care which one ends up being the starting quarterback. I just want them to run this offense to the highest amount of efficiency that they can, the highest amount of effectiveness that they can. And now, and like last week, no one really grabbed a hold of it. So when we look at the predictions, I mean, I think we have to start by again, we've talked about it. Oregon State's averaging over 5 yards a carry and 240-plus yards against their defense. So if you're Rodney Smith and Shannon Brooks, I know I said this last week, why can't both of them have over 100 yards if they're going to each get 17 to 22 carries? Now, you look at that, Overfetch should be over 5 yards a carry. That should be pretty close to 100 yards. So I am very interested, and it's probably my biggest thing to watch, is Minnesota's offensive line. Because here is the quote that P.J. Fleck told Andy Greeter last week, or this week, about the offensive line performance. Here's what Fleck had to say. I didn't think we moved anybody. But then again, when you're looking, when you start looking at a team, it's the camaraderie and the cohesiveness of working together of those five. It's not just an individual talent of every single player up front. It's how those players work together, and that's what makes an elite offensive line. On Thursday, I thought we played as five different linemen instead of one offensive line, which is going to take time, and that's what it comes back down to, is the E word, experience. Now, I don't know how much of that is coach speak, how much of that is true, but I think that what Fleck said about they did look like five different offensive linemen playing instead of one cohesive offensive line unit. Now, it's going to take more than one game for this unit to come together, but this should be a great stepping stone towards that. So if Minnesota isn't averaging, I'll even, kind of nip it in the butt in terms of maybe if they average only 4.5 yards a carry on something like 40 carries, Minnesota can still be successful. But especially when you look at the quarterback splits, like if these running backs are still in the 3 yards a carry range, there better be a damn good reason they're in that. Like 7, 8, 9 man boxes in Minnesota's passing game just took a hold of things, because if the passing game isn't what it, has the potential to be, and Rodney Smith and Shannon Brooks still can't find any holes, I wish Derek Burns would be back for this podcast, because on the breakdown one, I can tell you right now, I'm not going to be too happy. So when you look at the guys up front, Donnell Green, Connor Olson, Jared Weiler, Garrison Wright, and Nick Conley, I mean, this is a unit that has to look at the tape. What are opposing offenses doing well against this defense that we can do the same thing to do to exploit them? So with the offense, again, run the rock, and on defense, stop the rock. If you can do both those things, I think Minnesota has a chance to have a very good chance anyway to come away with a victory. So I talked about this at the start of the podcast, Luke. I don't understand why Oregon State's favored. I understand they're at home. I understand Minnesota didn't look exactly great against Buffalo in terms of offensively, but with how bad the Beaver defense has been and how Minnesota's strong suit should be in their running game with their two backs, I just think Vegas has this one wrong. So I think Rodney Smith and Shannon Brooks are the ones that carry Minnesota on the ground here, and Minnesota's defense does just enough for a close road victory. I have Minnesota 31, Oregon State 24.
All right, so for Gopher fans that are wanting the game details, this game is at 9 p.m. on Saturday. It's on FS1. We want to thank you for listening to this preview edition of the Gophers and the Beavers. If you are enjoying the podcast, we'd encourage you to rate the podcast on iTunes and also check out Ryan's material on gopherillustrated.com. So thanks for listening. Go Gophers.